And today I'm speaking about airway choices. While drinking a good espresso coffee and studying literature about tracheostomy, I realized that the indication, techniques, timing, selection of critical ill patients for tracheostomy have been topics of considerable debate, while complication seems to be better understood. So my airway choice is a tracheostomy for critical ill patients. In this communication, I speak about this topic for tracheostomy for critical ill patients. Starting from the incidence. In this recent paper from United States, the author reported a huge increase of tracheostomy over 20 years. Tracheostomy rised from 36,000 to 82,000 in 2012. According to this data from Italian Ministry of Health, we performed in Italy about 16,000 tracheostomy per year. What about timing and indication? We performed two surveys, one national survey endorsed by the Italian Society of ICU, one international survey endorsed by ESICM about the clinical practice for tracheostomy in ICU. In literature, tracheostomy were mainly performed in case of prolonged intubation to facilitate the weaning, to allow a more efficient hygiene, in case to inability to intubate, and others. In our international survey, the most frequent indication for tracheostomy is prolonged mechanical ventilation followed by weaning, difficult weaning, neurocritical disease, inability to perform the airway protection, and the others. In this case, for the indication, literature and real life agree that prolonged mechanical ventilation weaning are the most frequent indication for tracheostomy in ICU. Timing was very much studied by literature. This is the last meta-analysis about comparing the early versus late tracheostomy. In this review, the author included 8 randomized controlled trials, but only 3 of these trials reached a good quality. In this review, early tracheostomy is a tracheostomy performed in the first 10 days of ventrotracheal intubation. The late tracheostomy is performed after 10 days of endotracheal intubation. At the longest follow-up time available in the different studies, that is different from mortality at 1 year or mortality at hospital discharge, the author found that early tracheostomy is good. But when we look at the I-square was more than 50%. So we found a substantial heterogeneity in this data. Indeed, the author concluded that this evidence should be considered with caution. The whole findings of this review are no more than suggestive of the superiority of early over late tracheostomy. In our international survey, the most frequent timing for tracheostomy in ICU is during the second week of mechanical ventilation. We found the same data in the Italian survey, in the UK survey, and in the German one. About 10 years ago, my mentor and my best friend, Paolo Pelosi, stated that the right timing of tracheostomy remained controversial. However, it appeared then tracheostomy in selected severe trauma, burn, or neurological patients could be effective to reduce the duration of mechanical ventilation and the intensive care stay. But the key message was this. The general optimal tracheostomy timing did not exist, but tracheostomy should be targeted on the patient's individual clinical characteristics. What about the different technique? Different percutaneous tracheostomy have been developed over the years, but we should not forget the surgical tracheostomy. And what about the criteria of choice for a percutaneous tracheostomy? A patient is suitable for percutaneous tracheostomy when he was able to hyperextend the neck, when he has the presence of at least 1 centimeter distance between the inferior cricoid cartilage and the suprasternal notch, when we are sure to reintubate this patient, and when the patient may tolerate a transient hypercarbia and hypoxemia. In this recent meta-analysis, our aim was to evaluate whether percutaneous tracheostomy techniques are advantageous over the surgical procedures, and if one percutaneous technique is superior to the others. We include in this analysis 22 randomized controlled trials, comparing percutaneous tracheostomy versus surgical tracheostomy. We found that percutaneous tracheostomy was faster, but was associated to more technical difficulties comparing to surgical tracheostomy. Percutaneous tracheostomy is associated to less post-procedural bleeding, to less stoma infection, and to less stoma inflammation compared with the surgical procedure. Within percutaneous tracheostomy, we found that the CHAIA methods, that are multiple dilatational tracheostomy and single-step dilatational tracheostomy, were associated to less technical difficulties compared to the others techniques. And the CHAIA methods were associated to less intraprocedural bleeding. So we concluded that the available evidences from RCTs tends to show that percutaneous techniques are performed faster and reduced stoma infection and inflammation, but are associated with increased technical difficulties when compared with the surgical tracheostomy. Among PDT techniques, the CHAIA methods are associated with the lowest risks for intraprocedural technical difficulties and major bleeding. In our international survey, we found that the most used tracheostomy in ICU is the CHAIA single-step dilatational tracheostomy, followed by the surgical tracheostomy and Griggs technique. What about procedural steps? This survey is the first one investigated the clinical practice for percutaneous tracheostomy in critical ill patient. In particular, we evaluated the personal performing the technique, the role of ultrasound, the role of bronchoscopy and ventilation. Tracheostomy was mainly performed in ICU by one or more intensivists. Sometimes the intensivist is helped by ENT specialist or surgeon, general surgeon. In our meta, we found that percutaneous tracheostomy were performed by intensivists in 12 RCT, by surgeon in 4 RCT, and by ENT physician in 3 RCT. In this guideline from CHEST about interventional procedures, the author stated that tracheostomy should be performed by two dedicated operators, one performing the technique and one managing the airway. About training, trainees should perform at least 20 procedures in a supervised setting, and to maintain this competency, the dedicated operators should perform at least 10 procedures per year. Ultrasound are currently used to airway evaluation in ICU. This review found 7 studies about the role of ultrasound in tracheostomy, but only one randomized controlled trial used tracheostomy ultrasound to guide the tracheostomy, to guide the procedure. This meta compared the ultrasound-guided tracheostomy versus a standard blind technique, but the author found no difference in complication, even if tracheostomy was performed in a patient with a short neck. In our international survey, ultrasound were most used in suspected at-risk structures. So we concluded that preoperative ultrasound evaluation can add more safety to PDT, identifying the at-risk structure. But airway ultrasound need very trained personnel in this procedure to be used. Bronchoscopy is largely used for tracheostomy, for percutaneous tracheostomy, and it was associated to volume control ventilation. However, the use of a bronchoscope through an endotracheal tube worsened the patient's ventilation. While we inserted the FOB of 5 millimeters in a tube of 7 milliliters, the delivered tidal volume was reduced by 73%. The bronchoscope worsened also the gas exchange. The author found that during a percutaneous endoscopic tracheostomy, there was a huge increase of CO2 compared with Doppler tracheostomy or surgical tracheostomy. In our labs, we studied in vitro the respiratory mechanics during the tracheostomy. We tested the endotracheal tube with the bronchoscope and without bronchoscope, with the two types of ventilation and 6 ventilation settings with increasing respiratory rate and increasing inspiratory-expiratory ratio. We found that the peak pressure in volume control ventilation increased while inserting FOB, but with the major effect of FOB and the minor effect of respiratory rate and inspiratory-expiratory ratio. During pressure-controlled ventilation, the peak pressure increased while inserting FOB, but with the major effect of respiratory rate and the major effect of inspiratory-expiratory ratio. Also, the mean airway pressure increased while inserting FOB, and the increase was more in volume-controlled ventilation than pressure-controlled ventilation. And also the PPI increased while inserting FOB, but in this case we found a major effect of respiratory rate and inspiratory-expiratory ratio. So to optimize the ventilation during a tracheostomy, the complete or almost complete tracheal occlusion by dilators or bronchoscope should be minimized to avoid air trapping. In our experience, the use of pressure-controlled ventilation with the low respiratory rate and an inspiratory-expiratory ratio of 1.2 may minimize the air trapping. What about a new development for tracheostomy? Today, there is a new device that may add more safety and improve ventilation during the percutaneous procedures. This is the double lumen endotracheal tube for percutaneous tracheostomy. This tube has an upper channel dedicated to bronchoscopy, a lower channel dedicated to patient ventilation. The upper channel should be positioned at the level of vocal cords. The lower channel should be positioned at the level of carina. This slide shows some characteristics of this tube. The upper lumen has an internal diameter of 9 millimeters, while the lower lumen has an internal diameter of 7.5 millimeters. Percutaneous tracheostomy procedures with the double lumen and the tracheal tube are similar to the conventional technique. But at the beginning, we have to change the conventional tube with the double lumen tube. After that, we have to right placing the tube, the double lumen tube, and the correct positioning of the double lumen tube inside the trachea should be controlled with the bronchoscope, and the lower lumen should be centrally positioned on the posterior tracheal wall with its distal cuff positioned just above the carina. With this tube, the puncture of anterior tracheal wall and the predilatational step should be performed with the lower lumen inside the trachea to protect the posterior tracheal wall. Also, the dilatation should be performed with the double lumen inside, and also the cannula placement. At the end of the procedures, when we control the correct cannula placement, we found the distal cuff of the endotracheal tube, not the carina. This tube was a matter of two studies, an in vitro evaluation and an in vivo evaluation. In the in vitro study, we found that the double lumen tube was associated to less resistance and to a better ventilation compared with the endotracheal tube plus bronchoscope. In vivo evaluation, we found that the double lumen endotracheal tube was associated to a stable gas exchange during the procedures, while the conventional procedures is associated to hypoxemia and hypercarbia. The double lumen tube is also associated with the stable respiratory airway pressure and minute volume ventilation, while the conventional tube were associated to a reduction in minute ventilation and increasing respiratory airway pressure. So, the double lumen tracheal tube may add potential advantages to percutaneous procedures. With its distal cuff, it may protect the airway from bleeding and aspiration, but it may avoid the accidental extubation during the procedures. With its lower lumen, it may protect the posterior wall of the trachea, and the mechanical ventilation is not affected by using this tube. Finally, a brief focus on mortality and quality of life of tracheostomized patients. In this paper from Mayo Clinic, the one-year mortality of a tracheostomized patient is 40%, with a particular increase in COPD patients. In Trackman trial, the two-year mortality was more than 50% at 2 years. And what about quality of life? Tracheostomized patients had a lower quality of life compared with the non-tracheostomized patient after the ICU discharge. In this pilot trial, we evaluated the mortality and quality of life after tracheostomy in ICU during 1 year follow-up. And we found that the survival at 1 year was about 12%, and patients during the follow-up time have a low quality of life and severe disability. In conclusion, about clinical practice, the most frequent indication for tracheostomy were prolonged mechanical ventilation and difficult weaning. The most frequent timing is in the second week of mechanical ventilation or endotracheal intubation. The most used technique, percutaneous technique in ICU, is the single step dilatation of tracheostomy and Griggs. Tracheostomies were mainly performed with the fiber optic guidance, but in this case, we have to optimize the mechanical ventilation setting during the procedures. New devices like double lumen endotracheal tube may add more safety to these procedures and stable ventilation. Long-term outcomes like mortality and quality of life are a new challenge for us. Thank you.